Brother Gerby, if you come up for just a second. For those of you that are visiting with us, we at the Fifth Ward Church, on the Sundays that have five, months that have five Sundays, we all come together. We're one family in God. We normally have two services in the morning. Brother Gerby Aguirre is our Spanish minister, and we want him to lead us a prayer this morning. Brother Gerby, if you will.
Santo Padre, Señor nuestro, te damos gracias en esta mañana por estar juntos, por ser una familia en Cristo Jesús. Gracias, Señor, por los hermanos todos juntos.
Yes.
Gracias, Señor, por las hermanas todas juntas. Gracias, Señor, por todo tu pueblo aquí reunido en esta mañana. Señor, te amamos, queremos hacer tu voluntad. Señor, ayúdanos una vez más, te estamos implorando por un nuevo año, que vamos a tener un nuevo año, que tú nos sigas ayudando, que nos des vida, que nos des salud, que nos des, Padre Santo, de acuerdo a tu voluntad, todo lo que tú creas que merecemos y que necesitamos para poder vivir. Señor, gracias, gracias, Señor, gracias.
Thank you, Lord.
Te amamos, Padre Santo. Gracias.
Thank you.
Señor, quédate con nosotros. Ayuda al hermano Gary en esta mañana. Ayuda a los visitantes que tenemos. Hay muchos. Te pedimos que ayudes a los que sufren, los que tienen enfermos, los que tienen personas en las cárceles. Señor, te pedimos que seas con estas personas que sufren, los que tienen problemas de salud. Hay muchos.
Yes.
Te pedimos que seas con nuestros ancianos, nuestros elders.
Yes.
En este nuevo año, con nuestros diáconos, los predicadores que aquí trabajan. Señor, todos los jóvenes, los niños. Señor, te amamos. Te amamos, Padre Santo. Queremos hacer tu voluntad y ayúdanos para poder hacerla. En Cristo oramos y te agradecemos. Amén.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Gerby. As you probably can already tell, we have, first of all, thank God for today. Amen. December the 31st, 2017, literally the last day of this year. And we can't say enough, God is good. Amen. Say enough, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers that have been uttered already, the singing. Most of the members here have a shirt on that says, with all our hearts. If you don't have a shirt, we have some more. You can, after service, you can pick up a shirt across the street. We know some were not here, were able to get them. And we know this is probably maybe one of the most ambitious themes that we have decided to lift up. Last year, making disciples, making a difference. Because these words are not just words on our shirts. They're words that come from the Bible, come from God's word. But they require a lot. They really do require a lot. Who in the world could make such a demand? We read in the scriptures in Deuteronomy, the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 4. We know we're tight. If you have some seats that's close, work with the ushers as individuals are coming in to allow people to sit down. Don't claim a seat. You know. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. He told Moses, called the children of Israel to the Mount Sinai, smoking. The mountain was smoking. God had already rescued them from Egyptian bondage. And he utters these words to them in the Old Testament. Then in the New Testament, on one occasion, the Pharisees, the lawyers, were testing Jesus and asked Jesus, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, the scripture says, and he said to him, a lawyer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. That's what the Bible says. That's asking a whole lot for somebody to love. And, you know, in life there we have some commitments, some areas of our lives that a great commitment is asked. You know, when those of you that's married in here, and when you took your wedding vows, and I don't know, Sister KB, I don't see her sitting up here. Man, she's probably in here somewhere, maybe out working. But I use Sister KB since she's my wife. But you know, when you're married, and the preacher says, "Without Karen Smith, take thee Gary Smith to be thy wedded husband, to have and to hold, to love and to cherish." Says, from this day forth, will thou be only unto him so long as you both shall live. That's a commitment, isn't it? And it says it to the wife, and it says it to the husband. It says, the husband, will you be faithful only unto him? And Sister KB took that commitment about 33 years ago. And I hope she was serious when she took it. Amen, somebody. The preacher didn't say, would you take him sometimes? Would you take him part-time? I remember when I was playing football, and one of the years, one of our coaches, well, our head coach, came in, and he asked us, he says, God, men, we have 12 games in the season, 12 games, and what we want from you, your whole coaching staff, what we want from you is these 12 weeks, we've already been practicing. We want you to commit. We want your total commitment. Amen. We want you to make sure you're in bed at the right time. We want you to make sure that you come to practice every day, that you're on time. We want you to eat right. He said, man, we want this commitment because we want to be champions. Amen. And man, they were serious as they could be. We were all sitting there listening. It's like, okay, they were putting us on lockdown. And for the most part, many of us made that commitment. And I tell you what, God wants that commitment from us. I know, I won't have time to finish all of this, but I want to put on our minds what I believe this really means when the Bible says, with all of your heart. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my wife to half-heartedly be my wife. I don't know, you don't want your husband to half-heartedly be your husband. And you know, really, if you're about accomplishing any major goal, you want people who are committed to the cause. And really, that is how success happens, when you have some shown-up, committed folks. I've been preaching here for a while, and I'm telling you, we got more things to do than to be playing with God. I'm serious. I love the Lord, and I remember when I was in school, in grade school, there was this young man, and I was so impressed with him, because I must have been in the maybe sixth, seventh grade, but he used to wear a shirt and tie to school every day, and some days he would wear a coat. I'm gonna call his name. You might know him, but he wore a coat. And he was so proper, and he was so. And every now and then he would have a Bible. And I went to church, and I saw him. You know, people would tease him sometimes. Like, look at it. He think he's something. And you know, it didn't bother him at all. As a matter of fact, we sit at the lunch table. He was sitting down. Some people be sitting there, and guys would be talking about. He said, "Y'all don't bother me." He says, y'all need to straighten up. You need to straighten up. And I was just in awe of him. But until that was an occasion, that was a function away from school. And we were at a house, and he was there, and I was there, and some more people were there. But I'm telling you, I got close to him, and he was a different person. He was cursing and and I was in shock. He was saying something, and then they started talking about, now I was pretty green and naive. I was sheltered and green and naive, and they started talking about girls. And when he started talking about girls, and I'm like, whoa, brother. I say that because Jesus said when he was on this earth that man cannot serve God and mammon. You're gonna despise, you're gonna love one and despise the other. You're gonna despise one and love, and that is so true. And when it's too hard to live two-faced in this world. It's too hard to live on two sides of the coin. Jesus recognized that. I wonder, do we recognize that today? Let's go to the Word of God again. He uses the word heart. And you know, I was looking up in the Bible all the times the word heart is. You realize heart is one of the top 10 words in the Bible. Those words that's used most often. The word Lord probably more than any word. The word God more than any other word. The word King, the word Jesus, the word love, the word heart stands there at about 1,000 times it's used in the Bible. But never does the word heart used in the Bible refer to this ticker right here. It is the seat. It is the central control at the heart. It is the central means by which all human activities occur. It comes from the heart. Our intellectual activities. Proverbs 23:3-7. The scripture would say, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Intellectually, our thoughts come out of the heart. Even our emotions come in the heart. Listen to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 14. Behold, my servants will shout joyfully with a glad heart. But you will cry out with a heavy heart. And you will wail with a broken spirit. Out of our heart, our emotions come. Out of our heart, all thoughts come. Our intellect, our emotions, our morals, our physical activities, and yes, our spiritual activities start in the heart. Yeah, but what about this heart right here? Well, see, sometimes we get confused with the heart. We get a little bit confused because, see, enthusiasm is not necessarily a requirement for heartfelt service to God. Yeah. Yeah. See, we want to feel good all the time. Oh, I went to church today. Oh, we had some church today. That's good. And I hope when we come, we sing praises to God. But you know, there's some things that we do in life that we really necessarily don't really want to do, but we need to do. And listen to Jesus. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. You see, when the scripture says that God wants us to love him with all of our heart, God wants us to love him through good times and through trying times. Lord have mercy. Jesus suffered, but he still stayed faithful to the cause. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus went to the end. Now, what God wants from us is a sincere heart. See, thank the Lord, because see, I have some troubles and some trials every day in my life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the scripture would say, let us draw near with a sincere. The word sincere means genuine. It's a word that means real. It's a word that means not with hypocrisy. See, God wants us to come to him. That's what disturbed me so much about that young man when I saw him. I'm like, man, he is a big fraud. What are you saying, Brother Gary? That you expected him to be perfect? Not necessarily perfect, but we need to be sincere about what we are doing. And see, now we're going to trip up and we're going to fall. And I know you like me. I make mistakes. We make mistakes. But God knows our heart. Even in our marriages, sometimes things that we want to do, things that we're trying to do, we're not able to do them all the time. But your heart needs to be in the right place. Thank you, Lord. And God says, and I didn't want to throw a guilt trip on the church. But at the same time, God, see, this is a great time. I love it the way God has designed the world in seasons, in phases, in days. Every day we start a new day if we live, 24 hours in a day. Every month, our months are on cycles of 30 to 31 days. We even have seasons, summer, spring, winter, fall. It's like God transitions into these seasons. In every transition, it gives us opportunity to reassess ourselves. Now we're at the end of a year. A whole year has gone by. Have you not stopped and just asked you, where has the time gone? Have you not asked yourself the question, well, what did I do with 2017? You would be an unwise person to let years go by. And sometimes, Brother Gary, I just don't want to look back. I made so many mistakes. Well, you need to know that you made mistakes. And stop hiding from the mistakes. Now we're at the cusp of a new, brand new year where literally you have the opportunity. Why? Because God has been good to us. I had all kind of problems last year. If you're sitting here right now, God has been good to you. Yeah, but look here, I'll tell you what. Talk to me after church. I can show you a list of folks who would trade places with you right now where you are. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Well, what are you talking about, brother? You want to be in jail today? Amen, somebody. You want to be going to court tomorrow? I have some appointments right now with folks in the courthouse. Stop complaining and whining and say, God is good. Amen, amen. And here we are on the cusp of another opportunity. Another year. And sometimes, you know, I forget my children kind of, they grown, they, you know, they above 20. And I, you know, I'm telling you, I talked to so many people and all these issues in life. And this morning I wanted to get on the phone and say, look, y'all need to get up. You need to get up, get your children up. This is a new year. You need to start off fresh with God. Change some things that are going on in your life. Because God is good. And here we are. What are you going to do different? Are you going to do the same things? The same patterns? Well, Brother Gary, I'm trying so hard. How is it working out? Maybe you're trying on your own. Aren't you tired? Have you been doing things the same way all the time? Are you dependent on yourself? Are you dependent on that man, that woman, that job? My goodness. Yeah, God, he makes this bold request. You see, God, you know, God, he instructs us through his word. He warns us through his word. He admonishes us, encourages, and sometimes he gives out flat out commands in his word. Because God made us. He knows what is best for us. But one thing God does not do is he does not make us do anything. Amen. He will not twist your arm. No, he's not going to grab you out your bed and tell and make you go look for a job. Amen. That's up to us. He made us that way. We're made in his image, after his likeness. That's what distinguishes us from all the other animals. Animals have a nature that they must abide by. We can make our own choices. I got a question for everybody in here this morning. What choices are you going to make? Sometimes we try to psychoanalyze everything and trying to figure out what's wrong with these children. Some of them just hard-headed. Not only them, some of us are hard-headed. We want to do things our way. And we just haven't submitted to God's will. Some of us have never even tried God. I know I'm preaching to the wrong audience this morning. Yeah, and so God makes this. Bro Gary, tell me this now. God makes it, he wants all of our heart. How can God make such a demand? I'm glad you asked that question. I can't finish this lesson, but I want to at least give you why God can command us to love him with all of his heart. First of all, it's because of his power. See, when you got the power, you can command. Yeah, my daddy used to use this all the time in the house. Yes, sir. My mother would talk and give orders and stuff. My daddy, he had the. Now, see, first we didn't know he had the power till he used the power. And after we found out who really had the power, all daddy had to do was speak. And it came to pass. Listen to this passage in Deuteronomy. I'm going to take Old Testament and I'm going to go to the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. You remember he told the Israelites to love him with all of your heart and your soul and your might. In verse 12, he said, then watch yourself. He's still talking to them. That you do not forget the Lord who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And see, some of you that don't know the whole story, the Israelites were in captivity 400 years, crying and whining and crying to God. Now, they got in captivity because they were hard-headed. Yeah. And a lot of times, if we just tell the truth about our own situation, like we complain, well, I don't go to church, I don't do all that stuff, we complain about everything. But a lot of it, let me just talk about me. A lot of things that I complain out of because of decisions that I made. And sometimes we just complain because we want other folks to. It's an excuse. We want other folks to feel sorry for you. A newsflash. You know what? Most people don't feel sorry for you. You know why? Because we really don't have time. Why? Because we have our own issues. You whining, doing all that whining, because most people can't help you anyway. And so. God, after God rescues them, you know how he rescued them, the children of Israel? He took a man, Moses, who was a little reluctant. He says, Moses, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God, you know, the New Testament said God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. And God is. You know, when you read in the Old Testament, God consumed things with fire. But literally hundreds of years would pass by a lot of time before God would act. And we read in the Bible, man, God was hard. God was good. Amen. Just like he's good to some of us right now. Things, you know what? We haven't been punished yet for something we did 2 years ago. And God said, don't forget. He told Moses, you go. I will be with you. Moses didn't want to go. God caused plagues to come on all of Pharaoh. All kind of frogs, lice. The last plague was he killed the firstborn. Of all the land, all of Pharaoh's people, the animals and people, the firstborn in the land, they cried and cried and cried. Pharaoh finally said, I let them go. Now notice, that was God's doing. Yes. Now, see, listen, with God on your side, see, God, there are battles that you don't have to fight. Yes. Okay, I'm so tired of my job, my boss is crazy, keep praying to God. Notice this, keep doing your job and praying to God. Amen. Don't you go, like, I look every day you look on the news, somebody go in and shoot two employees, shoot people, and then go and kill they say, my, don't do that. No faith. And when you wake your eyes, wake up in eternity, you have murdered yourself, and the scriptures say, no murderer shall enter the kingdom of God. Don't do that. Pray about it. Do your job and allow God to work. Because when God removed that boss, he's gone. She's gone. She's not coming back. Amen, somebody. Be patient. Come on now. Have some faith. Faith in God. God, so Pharaoh, after they did that, Pharaoh said, get these people out of here. All the children of Israel came storming out of Pharaoh's land. Most scholars would say there were literally over a million people going out of Pharaoh's land. But after they got out, Pharaoh got hard-headed and said, look here, I'm going to go get them. I'm tired. I'm going to go. He sent all of his armies out. God's people were walking and families walking out. They got to the Red Sea and they saw all the people behind. The Pharaoh's people, they started whining. Moses, you brought us out of this land to be destroyed. God told Moses, stand still. Stand still. And see the power of God. He stretched forth his rod in the Red Sea. Now this is stuff that you can't even make up. This is stuff you wouldn't. I'm not, if you're looking at this, how are we gonna be ready? Sometimes the same way we do now. We think there's no hope for us. I just don't see my way out. I don't understand how it's gonna happen, Brother Gary, because you're looking with your eyes. God parted. I wish I could have seen that one. He parted the Red Sea. Now notice, now he and people saw it. They standing there, water, heaps of water, standing up on one side. The other side, they're in the water. Moses, all the people crossed through on, notice that it wasn't muddy ground. They crossed through on dry land. Oh my, I know it had to be some seasoned sisters that were walking in that group saying, "Woo, praise the Lord." Yeah, and they walked through. Now these children of Israel, they walked through on dry land. Right. Pharaoh's people saw it too. And they started chasing. And you know what? God destroyed every last. He destroyed all of them. God did that. God destroyed all of them. They saw it with their own eyes. Now, tell me that's not some power. Now, notice this. They saw this. How could God demand that they love him with all their hearts? They witnessed what God. Every now and then, you know, when I was a child, every now and then, you know, you get beside yourself and you start complaining about, you know, what you're eating and what we having today, Mama? Beans and rice. Oh, beans and rice again. And my daddy was the type. He didn't say a whole lot, but when he got fed up, you know, we whining and complaining. My daddy would say something like, "You know what, y'all? You need to shut up and eat what's in front of you. Because that's all you're going to get." Long as you're in this house, and you know what? My dad would say stuff, and then we just get hush quiet. Listen. God has the right. Excuse me. Now I know that you, I wasn't an Israelite. We didn't see it with our own. I know somebody thinking like that. Well, that's Old Testament. I'm finna give you some New Testament. See, listen. You have to honor and recognize the power of God. Let me finish reading what he said, because I want to end on time. Listen, let me finish reading what he said. He says, "You shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth." And God meant that. That's what he said to them. That's some power, brothers and sisters. Now, but what about the New Testament? I'm going to skip part of my lesson. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Some of you don't know what the gospel is. It's a word that means good news. It means good communication. It says, which he promised, notice, beforehand, through the prophets and the holy. This is something God actually did before he created the world. Yeah. Your homework is to read Ephesians chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3. You see that God had a plan in his mind before he even created the world. Some of us are good planners. We're good managers. We're good guys. We do good things like that because we look ahead. You don't look ahead like God looked ahead. Before he made us, he knew we were going to mess up. It's beautiful when you have a good manager who anticipates problems, who anticipates trouble. Not only do they anticipate, they plan for the trouble that's ahead. I told the church a story of one of my daughters was in college and she lose everything. We moved her in an apartment one of the years, and I, in my mind, I'd say she gonna lose something. We moved up there, and I got some extra keys to her apartment. One night late, one night must have been 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock. She's out of town, and she called mom. Called mom, mom, I lost my keys. And my wife, oh Lord, we gotta drive. I said, we not driving nowhere tonight, sister. And she said, well, what are we gonna do? Call the police. My wife, call the police. I said, KB, go to bed, go to sleep. How can you stay so calm and your daughter is out there? I said, give me the phone. She gave me the phone. I said, Karen, I didn't mean to tell you which one it was. most of you knew anyway. I said, Corinna, what's wrong with you? Dad, I lost my keys. I don't know what I'm going to do. She started crying, whining, and crying. I said, look, go outside. What would you want me to go outside? Ain't nothing else. I said, go outside. And before I left, I put the keys under a pot. I sat up. Didn't even tell her mama that I did. Because if I told her mama would have cheated you anytime. She, mama said, go, girl, daddy got some keys out there. And so she went out to the pot, and we were on the phone. I said, move the pot. I said, daddy. Oh, thank you, daddy. Thank you. I said, girl, bye. God knows us. Yes. Through. Through and through. Yes. Our tendencies, our weaknesses. Yes. God made this world. Did you realize that some of God's angels disobeyed him? Yes. As good as God is, God's angels, some of them disobeyed him. And he had a plan for them. It hadn't all come into fruition just yet. Now notice, God only made one plan. He only made one plan for all mankind. So now we're in the New Testament. I'm talking about the power of God. Paul recognized this. He said this, listen, in verse number two. When he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. See, God's plan is in his word. That's why you need to be in the word of God. See, a lot of us haven't tapped into the power because we don't even know what God has done for us. And it's only God does not come sit by your bedside and talk to you verbally through your radio today. He hath in these last days, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks to us through his word, according to John chapter 12 and verse 48. He that rejected me and received not my words. The same words going to judge you in the last day. It's the words of Jesus Christ, and you get them through his word. Notice this. Let me finish reading. He says this. Concerning his son, this is key. Who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power. Yeah. What do you mean, Brigadier, with power? By the resurrection. Who do you know? Name one person who has ever died and has come up out of the grave. Notice this, never to die again. But girl, I didn't see it, but you know it. What do you mean, but Gary? There is too much evidence. There is not another person on this earth who has had the impact that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has. He's the most talked about, wrote about, controversial person who's ever lived and who yet lives and lives at the right hand of the Father. Guess what? If God can raise him up, he can raise us up. That's why God can ask from us. That's why God can command from us to love him. Notice this. With all our heart. With all our soul. With all our mind. That's why we're here today. That's why on the first day of the week, we do this in remembrance of him. Because what he's done for us, nobody's making us. Okay, everybody don't do it. Don't worry about everybody. What you need to worry about is yourself, right? This one time you need to be selfish. Because see, I want to show you. In my sermons this year, I think I'm going to break it down. Because I want to show you what this really looks like for us to worship God with all our hearts. Some people get a little overwhelmed. But yeah, what do you mean? We have to be in church all day long? What do you mean I have to read my Bible all day long? No, but you have to live a life. We have to live a life that whatever decision we make, we consider how it's going to affect our relationship with God before we do anything. Amen. You looking for a man? You looking for a woman, a girl? You looking for somebody to spend the rest of your life with? You better find a partner that's going to help you to get to help God, get to God. You know, you need to stop looking on the outside. Stop looking at what he got. And you need to look what's in his or her heart first. Yeah, you're looking for a house and a place to stay, and you're trying to find a resident. You need to ask yourself the question, well, if I stay here, how is it going to affect my relationship with all our hearts? I know it's a journey. I know it's a commitment. But anything. You don't want. I love my wife. I love Sister KB, and we've had a great 33 years. I think it's 33. It might be 34. But she'll forgive me. Cause you know what? One thing we used to argue about. I'll just tell you a little bit. Early in our marriage, you know one thing she used to get on me about, because I was an athlete, and when I first stopped playing football and get home, you know, you athlete at home, you get bored, and you want to do, men want to compete, do something. So I used to go play basketball. You know, I go down the street, play basketball, and sometimes I'd be playing basketball, and you know, you just forget what time it is. Yeah. Sisters, that's what we tell y'all. She said, well, where you been up? Where you been? I said, baby, I don't know. I just forgot what time it was. And she said, you, baby, you've been gone for 5 hours. She would say stuff like that to me. And in my mind, I said, I know I haven't been gone 5, but I look at the clock. I said, guess it has been 5 hours. And we struggle with, you know, I used to like to play. You know, I didn't do video games, but I like shooting pool, and I like talking to the fellas and say, man, you know what's up, man? But I kind of forgot I was married. I had to reassess. Now, I put it this way, if I wanted to stay. Okay, don't even say that, okay, because see, I run mine. I said, okay, all right. That's good. If you want to stay married, you might need to. What are you saying, Brother? I hope and pray. Those of you, especially those of you who've already named the name of Christ. Amen. Because when you name the name of Christ, you did make that commitment. Amen. And if you want to get to heaven, see, God has the heaven. You don't.
Amen.
We don't. We don't have the reward. See, now these are all my points. I knew I wasn't going to have time to get to them. How can God make these demands that we love him with all our heart? Because of his power. Because of his provision. See, God can make things well with us. Even the Bible to you youngsters back there, you youngsters, wherever you're sitting right now, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that your days may be long. It's God who can prolong your days on earth if you're not so hard-headed. God controls that. It's in God's hands. God is preserving even life today. The scripture says that no man knows when Jesus is coming in. Only the Father. And it is by his word and his word alone that we're here today. What do you mean, Brother Gary? One day God is going to say, time shall be no more. Boy, that's some power. That's a provision. He reigns on the just and the unjust. His power, his provision, and his rewards. God has all the rewards. I'm going to finish part of this tonight for those of you that come back to evening service tonight. But I need to stop. And I want to challenge. This is, we're the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Those, we may have some seekers in here this morning. We have maybe have someone who's trying to find the truth, trying to find their way, trying to find a better life. We open the doors all the time. We extend an invitation to you who want to make that commitment to Christ. But we also want you to realize that we're not playing church. We're not. That young man had an effect on me years ago, and I used to go to church then. When I saw him, I was like, you know what? As a preacher of God, I do not want to be a hypocrite. Yeah. I mean, if I wanted to be a devil, I would be a shown off good devil.
Right.
Amen. I mean, life is too short, yeah. And if you're living that double life stuff right now, Lord have mercy, you need to. That's too hard. Ain't that too hard?
Yeah.
It's hard on your body. You're not smart enough to remember all the lies you have to tell.
Amen.
Let's start off right now. Today is December 31st. That in my house, be like Joshua said.
Amen.
As for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be.
Amen.
You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We extend an invitation to those of you that want to make the commitment today to come to Christ. This is how you do it. You hear God's word. You must believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's that simple. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, white, black, brown, purple, pink, whoever you are, it's an opportunity for all men and women. But you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank God that God didn't require us to die on the cross like his son did. Amen, because none of us probably would be Christians today. But what he does require is that you believe with all of your heart that he did die. Not only that he died, but he rose from the grave. And he lives today, and he's coming back one day. Now, listen, to be in Christ, it requires even more than that. You can believe it, but you got to act on that belief. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and the rest of the apostles preached a sermon about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they asked the question in verse number 37, men and brethren, Acts 2:37, men and brethren, what shall we do? He told them, repent. See, that's the change. That's the change. See, some you know, nowadays, you know, when you watch television, some preachers make coming to Christ a little bit too convenient. And I'm not talking about them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says, now you can believe, and some people say, well, receive Jesus in your heart. That's good, but that's not completing your obedience. Because before, you can receive, the Bible says, James chapter 2, verse 19, the devils believe and tremble. They're scared of the word, because they know the word, but they don't obey God. So he says this, repent. Repent means a change of mind about, see, Jesus came to this world to die for all of our sins. Sin is why Jesus left the pearly gates of heaven to come here to die for all. So he says you must repent. You must change your mind about the sinful way of life.
Amen.
There is transgression that God does not like.
Right.
That God hates. He hates sin. And there's a list in the Bible of a lot of the sins. But Gary, you shouldn't mention sin. Yeah, I should mention it a little bit. Because some people think, you just commit to Christ. You go on and do what you're doing. Well, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But your mindset, if you making a living stealing, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. If you're making a living stealing, you can't keep making a living stealing when you come to Christ. Amen. That means I don't want to. Bro, it's hard. It's hard on all of us. You know. Notice this. Let me give you one that you surely don't want me to say. See, in the world today, when you watch television, fornication is not. People don't even like. Bro, don't even talk about fornication. Don't even talk about sex. Everybody having sex. No, everybody not having sex outside of marriage. What do you mean, Bro Gary? It's a mindset. After all, that's a dangerous way to be living anyway.
Amen.
Change your mind about it. Say, look, you know what? I'm cleaning it up.
Yes.
I'm cleaning it up. Yes. I'm turning to God. I'm going to give this to God. Well, see, but again, that's why I'm not coming, because I can't handle it. Brother, sister, we all in here right now are saved sinners.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about when you become a child of God is that you have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses. The Bible says it keeps on cleansing us of all of our. All we have to do is humble ourselves and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. That's why I'm a Christian. I know that I. Brother, have you ever sinned since you became a preacher? If I say no. Listen, this is the best life.
Amen.
This is the best. This is your best. This is your best opportunity. Because God is so good and so merciful, and he yearns and waits for us to come to him. You must repent of your sins. You must confess. You must not be ashamed that you're a child of God. Jesus said when he was on this earth, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, Matthew 10:32, I will confess before my Father, which is, you understand what that's saying? Jesus says, if you're living on this earth and you're not ashamed for people to know that you're my child, when you get to heaven, when you stand before God, I'm going to be there. I love this. And those of you that like that played on team sports, you sure enough love this.
Yes.
I love this because there ain't nothing like a good teammate.
Amen.
Especially when he's the captain. And you standing before God, and it's just you and God, and all you standing before God, and you scared, nervous, scared to death. And you shaking. And you know you got some issues that you're dealing with anyway.
Amen.
Jesus says, Daddy, that's, he's one of ours. Y'all, some of you don't understand that one. Oh, see, we're going to make it to heaven by grace.
Amen.
Grace is favor with God through faith. See, it won't be perfection. It'll be by grace through faith. Believe it. See, I know, Lord Jesus, I'm counting on you. You know, I got some issues. I'm counting on you, Lord. Yes. Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father.
Yes.
Who's in heaven. That's our chance. Notice this. Yes. Now, we've heard God's word. We believe it with all our heart. We repent of our sins. We confess Christ. And he says, be baptized.
Amen.
In water. This completes your obedience into Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were baptized. All throughout the book of Acts, baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch, after he was taught, he said, here's water. What's stopping me, what's hindering me from being baptized? And I know some churches don't believe in the urgency of baptizing, but we do. And if you come today and want to be baptized, we baptize you not 4 weeks, not 3 weeks, not 2 weeks, not 5 months, not next year. We baptize you. Today.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so you here today, that's why we're challenging each of us.
Yeah.
To decide to love God.
Yeah.
With all our hearts.
Amen.
Everything we do.
Amen.
Every decision we make is with God on our heart.
Man.
You're here today, you need to come to Jesus.
Amen.
You're here today, you want to be baptized. You're here today, you want to recommit your life to Christ.
Amen.
Won't you come as we stand?
I really love the